Reich, der Tarnegolet haben gebetet. And took the nails for me. This is Glorious Day, a program that grew from
a vision to support our brother and sister Christians
and those who are still seeking Jesus
by applying God's word to the everyday concerns and challenges that we all face today.
We are two local pastors who love Jesus
and his people,
and he wants us to strengthen his disciples
to get stronger, because God's promised revival is on the way.
Welcome back to another edition of Glorious Day. This is Pastor David.
And this is Pastor Barry.
Well, we're so glad you joined us. Last week might have raised some feathers out there, and we're talking about, but we think it's important, and I hope you do too. This week, a point that we want to just explore and unpack is the theme that God protects us. Now, you know, in saying that, already I can hear some of your minds popping, all the neurons in your brain gathering concerns and questions about mm-hmm. that, because you'll obviously have an experience or a memory that doesn't quite match up with that. So we're going to talk about it. We're not going to necessarily answer everybody's question on the air. If you find that you want to pursue that with us, you can reach us. Email address is gloriousdayradio@outlook.com. That's Glorious Day Radio, all together, all lowercase, at outlook.com. And the scripture that's going to kind of serve as our basis tonight is from Psalm 46, verses 1 through 3. Listen very closely. God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. The word of the Lord.
Amen.
And of course, I love that, because it, what we know is that we don't get to escape being in trouble.
We're not insulated from it.
But because we know that living on planet Earth, it's an imperfect world. Mm-hmm. A lot of brokenness going on.
Oh yeah.
And so it's going to be tough, difficult at times, not every day. And I love the way David, as he writes, his phraseology that kind of really hits you, you know, about though the mountains be moved. We often feel like that today, into the heart of the sea. I mean, that's, think about that, moving mountains, earth shaking, going into the sea, you know, hitting the sea, big mountains creating tsunami type waves, though its waters roar and foam. I mean, though the mountains tremble at its swelling.
I just, you know, when you mentioned that, David, I picture that tsunami in Japan where they actually got the video of it coming in, and it looked like sci-fi. It looked like a very clever man on a computer created this wall coming in that just moved everything and everyone and didn't stop.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, the earth was shaken.
Yes.
And this is way beyond our human understanding and power. And yet he's telling us here to not fear.
Not fear.
Do not fear. God's going to protect you.
And I think we ought to start at the top of that point, because when we, here is the construct I'm going to throw at you, mm-hmm. okay? Number one, God's work in creation is for the purpose of saving our souls, mm-hmm. so that when we do die, we go to be with him in mm-hmm. heaven. And so for that purpose, Jesus died on the cross as an offering for the sin that we could not ourselves offer enough to God to satisfy for forgiveness. And so he did that. That was, and next, in the next episode, next week, we're going to actually be talking about God's mercy, which is the heart of the gospel. So I won't steal our thunder, though, today, but...
Did you mean to say thunder? Come on, David.
The point, though, is that, so for a believer, and frankly, if you don't choose to believe, if you don't receive Jesus as Lord and Savior in your heart, then you have rejected the saving grace of God and his mercy, because that's what it's all about. And so we talk about God's protection in a sort of sense of ultimacy, that we as Christians are protected from hell, basically, from dying when we die and going to hell, because we don't have any advocacy from Jesus, who is God. We don't participate in the sacrifice of the cross, and we don't receive that saving grace. So for those in Christ, we are protected. It does not mean that we are kept from suffering.
True.
Or tragedy, or anything like that. And, you know, Barry and I, we've been around on earth long enough to know we've been through, as believers, some interesting
serious times. Serious stuff.
Yeah.
I remember several years back reading an article about an interview with a group of Marines that had gone into Afghanistan. And they had their safe green spaces there where they would put up the barbed wire and the walls. And it was basically a safer camp, you know, that they would, that was their introduction to Afghanistan, is to go into that safety zone. And as the other guys were leaving, they had done their tour, they, without embarrassment, and rather courageously said, before you go to work here, you need to pray Psalm 91. Now, a lot of these fellows never heard of Psalm 91 because they never cracked open a Bible.
Yeah.
But these were tough guys, you know, tough Marines, telling them, this is a tradition, and it's also a gift we're giving you. Read Psalm 91. Mm. And they had lost very few men in their unit because everybody was all in on this. They were still wounded.
Sure.
But they were able to come home at the end of their tour. And this is not new. This, you know, Psalm 91's been around a lot longer than America.
Absolutely.
A lot longer than the Marines and the Army and the Navy. Yeah, yeah. But the fact is this, that real soldiers in war will pray. You lose your machismo when you're in a firefight. You think that they would act more manly, if we can call it that. But fear is real.
Yeah.
And to have something to hold on to, the grace of God, the protection of God, is better than a Kevlar vest, according to them. That, yeah, they were still shot in the arm, the leg. Some of them got shot through their Kevlar, but they were able to come home to their families relatively healthy. And I think that shows all of us that the power of prayer. Let me back up. If your prayer life is dormant, activate it this very moment. Before I start in the next sentence, pray, pray, pray.
Yeah.
Because all of these are just words if you're not praying.
Yes.
I think some of the best prayers that we've said in our lives didn't even contain full sentences. They were in a moment where you cried out, Lord, save me.
Yeah.
Whether that's on the way to hitting an 18-wheeler or a plane that feels like it's crashing, whatever the situation was, Lord, help me is a very powerful prayer. And in some cases, there were no words.
Yeah.
I can recall, David, when I was in college and I was driving a 1964 wreck.
I think I had one of those myself.
This car, let me tell you, if you slammed the door too hard, important pieces were falling off. And I could always, people could tell where I'd parked because there was that cheap green or blue paint in the parking spaces. But it got me to college. I was coming home from Miami back to Broward County and foolish enough to drive through a tropical storm.
Mm.
I was going to get my Chevy and go home, and I was going home, and it was a whiteout on 95, and there wasn't much traffic because the people that had a thought process got off the road, and I was probably doing 50, 55, and a gust of wind blew me off the road, and I was in the grass and mud median, and my brakes were ineffective. They weren't great anyway, but now sliding in the mud at 50 miles an hour, couldn't see a darn thing. And when I just gave it up to God, and I think I basically just hollered inaudible words. And when the car stopped and the windshield wiper clean my windshield off. I was sitting in front of concrete, the concrete abutment that's holding up the bridges on 95.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
Perhaps a foot away.
Yeah.
So God protected me from myself,
right,
from my own poor decisions. That's an extreme example, but he'll protect you if you just pray out, Lord, protect me from myself.
Right.
From my weakness, from my lack of faith. Whatever it is, it's precluding you from being strong in the Lord and recognizing just how strong and big he is.
Amen.
And how much he loves you. You're going to explore that to a deeper depth if you have an active prayer life. You know, David, you were a chaplain for a while. And
I've had several chaplaincy opportunities, yes. Actually, but you're speaking of the hospice.
The hospice.
Experience, yeah.
And I go back to the people with that look in their eyes of sheer terror when you're called into a room. And sometimes it's not only the patient, but it's the staff.
Yeah.
Particularly if someone's in dire straits and they can't manage their pain anymore. And it's like witnessing a drowning. And then along comes a Christian, a believer, someone who's put all their faith in the Lord. They're still in the same state of disease. They're still dying, and they still have excruciating pain. But if you have a staff member who's a Christian, what do you use the term? Your term, 24-karat Christian, caring for this Christian. It's a different atmosphere, a different experience, because, things are gone south. It doesn't look good.
Yeah.
But there's this trust that God will protect them and bring them through this and into their eternal life that morphine can't touch. You know, morphine will maybe make you a little loopy and maybe even knock you out.
Could be, yeah.
But as you've discovered, if people are fearing death and their demise, I don't care how much morphine you get them, the body is still reacting, twitching, turning, twisting, all this stuff. I've seen the miracle of a peaceful death many times.
Mm-hmm.
And I call it a miracle of a blessing for me and the staff to watch someone in a situation where they've trusted in the Lord and they're on their way.
Yeah.
And there's that split second between life and death. And that's the miracle point right there, David. You've seen it.
Yeah.
Where it goes on to just prove to those who will listen that body was just a shell,
mm-hmm,
and that spirit in there was what got them through. And now the spirit's absent and ain't nobody home and the lights are out.
Okay. Right. Yeah.
But it goes back to fear. You know, we fear things we can't control. We fear things that we don't understand. That if you think about the fact that God is in control.
Yeah.
And God knows everything.
Amen.
Past, present, and future. Who else are you going to put your trust in? There's no one else out there.
Oh, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
And getting back to, because I don't know, as we've both been exploring this topic, I sense that the listeners who haven't heard this yet, because we are recording it, but when they hear it, they're going to start having memories and questions pop into their head. And I want to get back to the basic point that God protects us, but we all die. We're not meant to live here in the flesh forever.
Mm-hmm.
Also, and again, that protection ultimately we must understand has to do with our spirit, that we are protected from going to hell if we know Jesus in our hearts. Mm-hmm. We've asked him, and he's our Lord and Savior. And when I say that, God does not expect us to perceive that perfectly, because we're not perfect, you know, and we're saved, we're blessed. We repent, we're forgiven, but we're still sinners. So the enemy loves to come in behind all that and say, well, what about this and what about that, and start making you feel uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is that we will all have memories of people we knew were believers, or at mm-hmm. least how they lived their life made us think they were believers. And yet we also see tragedy in that life, maybe a horrendous death, maybe following a very severe, debilitating, and humiliating illness.
Right.
You know, and our first question is, if they're a believer, how could God let that happen? Well, you know, the point is that God allows us to live our lives, and that we, when we are in Christ, we're hopefully listening to Him. Mm-hmm. How do you want me to live my life? And there are many cases where I've talked to people who are dying, who are believers, and they knew that God had allowed them to move into that time in their life with a measure of suffering because they could share their witness in such a way God intended for them to be heard mm-hmm. by the people that would maybe not have heard their witness if they hadn't been going through such tragic suffering. And they embraced that. You know, to say God protects us does not mean that we are delivered from the vagaries of human life, and where our bodies will suffer disease, injury, or whatever.
They do wear out.
They do wear out. They do. And that we can't, because to think to yourself, and it is thinking, it's not a spiritual work, it's totally a thing of the mind, mm-hmm. which is where the devil can get in and start, you know, feeding you false information. But to think that somehow we are protected because we're believers, or we have earned any special credit from God to divert what otherwise might be a difficult, tragic situation, either in our lives or somebody else's life, mm-hmm. is totally erroneous. I have a quick story. I may have said this before, but mm-hmm. when I first came to Christ, November of 1976, and a couple years later, my mother was diagnosed with bone cancer, and it was the result of probably another tumor that had metastasized.
Right.
Because by then, you know, it was in all over in her bones, and it just kept going. They had no way to treat it. They just did. It was an early hospice experience, and she was palliated. So they were giving her just pain meds.
Right.
Because there was no cure. And as a new Christian, and I'm telling you this because I'm speaking to those people that are having the same issue of thinking you have, because I thought, I'll say, speaking I language, I thought because I had finally decided to accept God's Son as my Lord and Savior that I had earned some credit.
You can do that, David?
Well,
right. What page is that on?
I thought I could.
Okay.
In my mind, I had made this up. I had this expectation, totally inappropriate. But, and so, you know, she was in the hospital for 3 months. Mm-hmm. And about halfway through that, I really began to pray seriously. I said, God, this is my mother. You know, you owe me. Okay, that was my attitude. I didn't always say it in prayer, but I realize how arrogant that was. But point mm-hmm. is, you know, my mother should not have to go through this horrible, it was very painful.
Even until they started. Bone cancer is one of the most painful cancers.
And she could never be comfortable. And, you know, no matter what, the mattress was never, you know, comfortable enough for her. And they would help turn her in her later days. She couldn't hardly move. But I believed God could heal her. Well, and God could. But my prayers then became much more focused because I figured God needed my help. Because mm-hmm. I was so intent that my mother should not be suffering in this way. Mm-hmm. And so to the point where I was so wrought up, and then she died. And I really was angry at God. You know, all the while, and what I didn't do, what we started out saying to do tonight or today, and that was when you're in a situation like that, pray, what does God want?
What does he
want you to know? After the fact, mm-hmm. God revealed this to me. He said, no, I wasn't going to heal her. You know, eventually she had all the pain meds taken care of. And he said, I wanted her to experience my presence in a very powerful way through very special fellowship. And then he reminded me that every roommate she had was a believing Christian. Because I would get in contact. I would talk to them. Mm-hmm. And I would find out very quickly, you know, if you're a believer and you're in another room with another believer, you know, almost instantaneously, you know.
Yeah.
And so while I'd come in for an hour a day maybe, and I would pray with her eventually and all this stuff, and do my own, I think, are now heretical prayers, you know, mm-hmm. about my attitude.
I think God knew your heart, though.
He knew my heart, yeah, but he still wasn't going to change his mind. You know, but her roommates, everyone ministered to her. Hmm. Now, I will say, in the couple of weeks before she died, I did talk to her about Jesus. I finally got to the point where I said, okay, maybe he wants, because she was never... she was a very devoted Catholic, and I realize, and even today, even more so, that, you know, that the Catholic Church is full of Christians, and she was, I'm not going to judge her, because we never really talked about that at that level, but I knew she knew Jesus, and I believe she loved him, but just to make sure, I led her through the sinner's prayer and mm-hmm. all of that, and I felt good. Thank God. I really must say, you know, the sinner's prayer is powerful. Even if you're a believer and you feel like you want to make that prayer, you know, God's going to not stand in your way.
Sure.
He's going to bless you. But for me, you know, at the end of all that, and I went through some tough times, that's when the anxiety issues began to rise up. You know, and I didn't realize, well, that was self-punishment, because I had never gone to God on my knees and humbled myself before the Lord and said, how would you have me pray for my mother? And so, but he took me through all that. It was another visit through the valley of the shadow of death, you know. But I really have a heart for people who are believers, but who are laboring under the delusion, you know, that it's all hunky-dory and sweetness and light when you're following Jesus. No, actually, look out where Jesus took the people who followed him.
Well, in the first blush of the church, you know, the early disciples, and then the generation after that, in the arenas with the lions eating them, or being set on fire as a nightlight or whatever they did.
Yeah,
these people obviously knew, because they knew they would be martyred.
Yeah,
in fact, a lot of people prayed out loud in a public place, praying that they would be a glorified martyr.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure how many of the early Christians lived a long life. They were on the run, they were hiding, and when discovered, they were tortured, killed, whatever. We have it pretty easy today. We're fat and happy. But I go back to this, you know, fat and happy is one thing, fat and happy Christian, and things are going to come up where you got to be in spiritual shape. You know, if you ever think about that, you know, in the best shape you were in your life, mine was probably 22 through 30, I was in great shape.
Mm.
But my spirit wasn't in great shape. Can you exercise your spirit? I think you could lose a few pounds of fat in your spirit. Where you've
I think
given
many
up,
of us need to.
Yeah, where you've given up prayer for a couple of days, weeks, months, years. And David, I come across people who tell me in the nursing home, I've been a Christian for 70 years. When was the last time you prayed? Can't recall.
Yeah.
You know, as they aged, things got in the way, and their aches and pains and other problems popped up and precluded them, they say, from praying. Never stop. My dear friends, never stop. God wants constant communication. If you ever hear Paul encouraging us to seek continuous prayer, that's kind of not acceptable to some people, because they'll think, oh, I can't do that. I'm working. I can't do that. I'm raising five kids. I can't do that. I'm, you know, I'm a surgeon. What, am I going to pray while I'm cutting? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, Paul is such an amazing apostle, because he prayed under conditions that you and I can't even have a nightmare about.
Yeah.
You know, if you're being tortured in a prison and being whipped and beaten, would you be praying at the time, or just trying to duck and cover? This man was evangelizing while he was being tortured,
using the opportunity to witness to the people who were torturing him. Isn't that's kind of an amazing? How many of us would think, "Wow, I get to be tortured so I can share God's love with this person"?
You'd get some strange looks around the room.
Well, you certainly would, but why should they be strange when, you know, our every opportunity we have to share the gospel is part of our calling?
That's right. And, you know, Paul was probably afraid or confused or frustrated.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure he was frustrated. he didn't have a lot of welcome wagons in the towns that he arrived at. People with torches and dogs and pitchforks, maybe. But because of his powerful faith and his prayer life, he was in pretty good shape.
Yes.
Didn't lose direction.
Strong spirit. And that's why I think Paul, reflecting on his own spiritual strength, God gave him that image of the armor of God, the whole armor of God in Ephesians 6, that we could take on, you know, look at that and meditate on that. And what does that mean for us? Because using the disciplines God's given us to grow spiritually, grow strong, and there is armor. So that's another way that he protects us.
That's right. And you're fighting the good fight.
Yep. And you know, I'm also throw this in. It's notwithstanding the fact that we all have memories of coming through a circumstance where we could have died, or we could have had serious injury, or even having been diagnosed with a dread disease, and then through prayer finding out that all evidence of that is gone. So there is sometimes when we can witness to God's protection for us because of things like that.
Right.
But what I'm also saying is, you have to go to God and ask him what he's going to do. Don't make up something you think is nice and count on it.
That's not going to work.
That's not going to work because, you know, you haven't checked in with God. I'd like, Barry?
Yes, sir.
I was often returned to you. I can pray too, but you often have better ways of saying things sometimes. And I think if you could pray, with all we've said for our listeners.
I would disagree with that because you're a man of many words.
Well, I am sometimes too many. But could you pray for our listeners in light of what we've been talking about tonight?
Let us pray. Oh, Holy Father, we come to you asking for your protection, your shield of protection all around your children, your followers of Christ. Lord, as we go about our business, whether that's physically traveling, if we're just standing up for you in an uncomfortable situation, if we have lost our courage, our confidence, maybe even a little bit of our faith, we ask for a renewal and a strengthening. The Holy Spirit, give us the words, give us the wherewithal, give us the message,
yes, Lord,
and give us the courage to share that message in any and all circumstances, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
If there's fear in a room, in a community, in a state, in a country, use us in a mighty way.
Yes, Jesus.
To share your message of trust and confidence in you, to watch over each and every one of your children, to bring us out the other side into your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. And just to remind you that in this program, we raise questions we may not be able to answer, although we try to deal with that. But, or if we have covered some ground and you're curious or concerned, send an email to us. You can reach us at gloriousdayradio@outlook.com. That's gloriousdayradio@outlook.com. We look forward to hearing from you. God bless y'all.
God bless. Join us again next Sunday at 5:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m.
Diving deep with us into God's holy word,
that we might all be encouraged, strengthened, edified,
and receive renewed hope that the Lord is on the move
and his perfect plan is unfolding in our time.
Hallelujah, 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 he is wonderful. again.